All right, what's going on, everyone? Welcome to another episode of Conspiracy or Just a Coincidence. I am Jack Allen. Today, I have my favorite guest on to talk about the war in Ukraine, the odd man from the Oddcast. What's going on, my friend?
Hey, man, it's great to be with you once again. Yeah, it's I don't want to curse. It's a big cluster, you know?
Yes.
So it's just made people insane all of a sudden, as if they weren't already insane.
Isn't it crazy? Like the transit. And I saw on SNL, they did like a skit. I didn't watch the skit because I didn't care, but they were making fun of, our current situation for the past 2 years. And like they did jokes about mask and all this stuff. And it's like seamless transition from that to now this is the focus.
I know. They didn't miss a beat. I didn't see that, but I saw some headlines about it. And yeah, it's like, it's crazy how, I know we talk about it all the time, but how easily so many people can have their minds changed or their attention diverted to something else. It's just disgusting.
Well, so what's your take? So like, that's like, I see all like, and it, now I see it on both sides, the neocons, and there is no difference. They're all like neocons.
Yeah.
Everyone's saying like, and all these fakes, well, what's your take on what's going on? And we'll get it. We'll like tear it apart each step by step.
Yeah. So, you know, I've got mixed feelings. Part of me feels like, you know, this is like the kind of a global GovCorp in the military industrial complex, coming in to finally kind of finish off, Russia, because it does seem to me like over the last two decades that they've really put a lot of money into Ukraine, trying to control it. And so it seems like to me there may be something to that. But then I know you and I've kind of thrown around the idea that what if, you know, Putin is actually in just one of the globalists and he's just doing what they're telling him to do. So they can create this chaos and destruction. And then there's all that rebuilding that they'll have to do, which will cost God knows how much. And, you know, laws and policies will be changed and people will get mineral rights and different things like that. So, you know, I wouldn't, you know, and that's probably something insane to some people, but, you know, I'm telling you that a lot of these guys are controlled. And you see a lot of these guys that these world leaders like, how can I forget his name? The guy from Canada, Trudeau.
Oh, Trudeau. Yeah.
Yeah. And a lot of these other guys like Boris from the UK and different ones, Macron. And you know, you see them all at these same globalist places, like, you know, whether it's the London School of Economics or Chatham House or CFR or whatever. And it's, you know, it does seem like they're all a part of that. But then you can go and see that Vladimir Putin has spoke at the World Economic Forum and stuff like that,
which they removed from their website, I saw.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
So pathetic. Yeah. So the one, you know, a couple other things that make me kind of think that it all is not exactly what we're seeing is legit by any means. I think we're seeing crazy propaganda right now. You know, just the way a lot of these big companies and these big like NGOs and in different places are behaving about this. I don't know if it's just that we've become so woke and they're just trying to be public or politically correct, you know, or, you know, they're actually kind of in on it because a lot of these places, you know, they belong to these globalist networks. And so they're just playing along with the game. We've got to make Russia the most evil thing that's ever been, you know, and they know that the people know nothing about history, and especially over there, the history over there.
Yeah, I didn't know if you were continuing. Sorry, but
no. I felt like I was talking too much.
No, not at all, dude. There's so much to. Let's start with like these. My theory, and believe me, I could be wrong. Like anyone that tells you they know the answer, I immediately write them off because you don't know the answers, dude. If you are right. So certain you know what's going on, I think you are an idiot because there's no way you could. You couldn't know the answer. No. You have no idea. But my take is, I like how you said about the leaders, like all of these guys, Macron and Putin and all of them, they're all members of these globalist organizations. And so if you're telling me that this war, it's not funded by both sides, it's not an orchestrated event, I would point you to every war since World War I. I mean, Hitler, as we've talked about this a million, he was built up to create Nazi Germany well 20 years in advance. I mean, like FDR was approving, that was war, but and they, all these wars are. FDR before World War I, 2 years, he was the Secretary of the Navy, was approving these huge Navy contracts that for warships that never would have gone through. Like, what, he just was doing it just in case? No, they knew we were going into the war. Mm-hmm. So I just refuse to believe that this guy, he's a rogue. He's rogue. He's doing, they have no idea what he's going to do. You know, like, history tells me the exact opposite, because that's never happened.
Yeah, because they're not going to tell the people, you know, if anybody's watching this and they think that we're just insane for even suggesting such a thing. Well, it's not like they're going to tell the mainstream public exactly what they're doing, because people would be up in arms about it. They're doing these things, or if they do, we know they do these things to a degree. And whether this one is another one or not, we don't know. But because they can launder millions and billions of dollars doing these things over periods of time, get policies changed, and like we were saying a few minutes ago, mineral rights is a big thing, you know, just the sphere of influence. You know, I heard Scott Horton, who, he's good on foreign policy, he's kind of a libertarian guy, but I do like his foreign policy stuff. And he was saying, you know, Russia doesn't really get to have a sphere of influence, yet the US and the UK, they can have their sphere of influence goes all over the entire world. You know, so NATO puts all their, a bunch of their bases around Russia. And then I looked at just plain US military bases. There's a lot of US military bases kind of surrounding Russia. And, you know, you go back all the way to the 50s when they were working, the CIA was working with Nazis inside Ukraine to try and help them fight the Soviets, you know? I mean, that's a long time ago, and that stuff has not stopped. We, you know, it's the same stuff that they do in the Middle East with these jihadi groups, you know? Done the same thing there since the 50s. And, you know, back in 2014, I don't know a lot about that. I'm still looking into it. But, you know, they did a regime change over there in UK, in the Ukraine. Mm-hmm. You know, you had Victoria Nuland, who's probably, I mean, her accreditations, she's like a globalist elite to the max. Like, she has, she's Brookings Institute. She was counsel on foreign relations. Right now, she's in the Biden administration. She was in the George W. Bush administration. She was in the Obama administration.
Jesus.
She's according to her Wikipedia, she's a permanent member of NATO. She started the, it's a CNAC, the Center for New American Security, which is like a warmongering think tank, like the CFR.
Yeah, it sounds very peaceful.
Exactly. And she's also in the German Council on Foreign Relations and a bunch of others. Yale, she's like a Yale fellow of something and all this stuff. So she was over in like 2013 speaking. I'm not sure exactly where she was at. I don't have that right before me, but she was at this event, and it was on either side of her, you can see Chevron over here, and you can see, I think it's Exxon over here, these big signs. And she's talking about how the U.S. has put $5 billion into Ukraine. And then they caught her on a, somebody recorded a telephone call with her and another government rep back then. And she was talking about the guy they were wanting to put in as president. And for some reason, my screen's not coming up, but wouldn't you know it, lo and behold, they put that guy in as the I guess it's the president or the PM there of Ukraine right after that. So they've been working over there to kind of try and get their, you know, they want total control of it.
Right.
And I heard, I watched a video today of Ray McGovern, who worked for the CIA for many years, but he's kind of like an analyst. And, you know, I know we have to take the CIA's, you know, what they say with a grain of sand, but he was saying that in Ukraine, there is an all-weather airstrip there, an airbase that Russia uses. And a lot of the places in Russia, he said they can't use all year long because of the weather. Mm. It's a very strategic strip for them, you know, when they need to get their planes off the ground and stuff like that. And so, and not just that, there's other things, but that's one of the main reasons you know, that Ukraine is such a big deal. There's also, let me see here. I got so many notes, and for some reason, some of them aren't coming up. You've got, the Open Society, you know, George Soros' whole deal, right. He's funneled about over $150,000 into Ukraine and also a bunch of their NGOs. Let's see. Of course, I go back to Atlantic Council. They're such a big part of NATO. They're like hand in hand with NATO. And you can see,
I keep seeing you mention the Atlantic Council. Who is the Atlantic Council?
So they're a think tank policy institute, basically like the CFR. I think I was not looking into them enough. They have huge donors, Google, Facebook, Twitter, Exxon, Bank of America, BlackRock, Blackstone.
All moral and totally ethical companies. Good.
And also, again, the Open Society, George Soros's, you know, his organization. So why would this super left-wing organization that wants communism be a part of the Atlantic Council that works directly with NATO? And also the Atlantic Council works directly with the Pentagon, too. So you see, again, these supposedly socialist, communist and capitalist ties coming in together. And, you know, just it's at every turn we keep seeing these same things going on.
I saw an awesome, and I pulled it up, U.S. foreign aid. But in just 2022, we have given over $100 million to Russia. We've given over, I lost the Ukraine number, but I think it's in like the $200 million, which is sickening in itself because we are $30 trillion in debt and we're giving millions to these people. But if this was our true enemy, this was our adversary, why would we be giving them $100 million a year or $150 million in 2022 that just started 3 months ago? Like, that's insane. I think the number of 2021 was like close to $300 million we gave to Russia. So you're expecting me to believe that this country we hate, they're our rival, but yet we're giving them $300 million a year. And this reminds me of Edward Harriman, who was like our ambassador to Soviet Union. And we've also talked about this. He was giving them money. He was giving them huge loans, giving them technology, how to get oil out of their ground, all this stuff. At the same time, he'd come back to America and say, oh, they're building their infrastructure. Oh, they're building weapons. They're getting powerful. They're getting powerful because he's giving them this money. They would have died without, like, I think it wasn't the Belgium relief, because that was World War I, but there was another relief that it was like the Marshall Plan. They said, like, we needed to support World War II. These are allies who were dying. They didn't have food. So America was sending millions and millions of dollars of meat and grain and all this stuff like that. It wasn't even going to the Soviet Union, who was already our enemy because they were dying. So you can, I just cannot, I can't fathom how that people are going to say, like, no, it's an actual, you know, enemy, it's our adversary, because that doesn't, all this evidence points to that being the case.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. And Harriman was also, I think he was in charge of the Lend-Lease program for Russia. So they were lending and leasing with Russia at the same time. He had rights to their mines. He was working with them, getting, I think it was manganese out of their ground there, which was worth a lot of money at the time, and I'm sure still is. But they play both sides of the field, and it's got to be one of two things. You know, it's got to be either our government is in bed with these other countries. This is all a ruse just to funnel huge sums of money and change things, because they know they can't, you know, they can't change things and do drastic measures at a time of peace when nothing's going on. But there's a lot of chaos and people are scared. They can do whatever they want, basically.
Nailed it.
But then it's either that, or it's like a small amount of people know exactly what's going on in the government, and the other people are just totally ignorant shills who just are collecting a paycheck and never look any further. Now, it's hard for me to believe that, because you know how it is in our kind of community. Once one of us finds out some, you know, interesting information, we've got to share that and tell everybody.
Right.
So, you know, and I just don't see how people who are on the inside, even to a smaller degree, wouldn't be able to see these things, you know, going on.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, it's just too hard, like, to think that all these people, like, I just can't see that. Like, I told you I got in like a Twitter debate. That's what spurred this show about, from this guy who I like, he's like a big monarchist. And he was saying that it's ridiculous to think that they're all controlled by the same group. And the example he brought up to add to his argument in our short characters that you have available was like a Trump article about how he was putting sanctions on China. And I thought of that example to say that that's how you know we're not, and that we're actually enemy sanctions. Like, why would he hurt the bankers there? And again, my response would be, our bankers have taken short-term losses for huge gains at the end. Like, they've lost, yeah. I forget like what example I was like thinking of, but there's tons that they will take. Like, example, they've crashed the economy in, you know, 1837 and 1907, 1929, obviously. All of these, they lost money in that first span. They bought it, all these things, and then that, you know, gave them 10 times the amount of money that they started with that. So they will take $100 million is not a loss to them, or whatever. $1 billion is not a loss. It's an investment that they know, like you said, you know, in a year from now, if this war continues, think of all the destruction and chaos they'll be able to build back up on. And if you even, maybe you can rebuild it the way you want, like Russia's too much of a dictatorship now. So they'll say, you know what? We have to put a constitutional republic in there. It needs to be a democracy. Then this would never happen, or something like that. You know,
exactly. Like, yeah. You said it great, man. It's an investment. They invest long-term. If they lose short-term, that's just what we can see right now. And most people think that's crazy because, you know, $100 million to us or whatever, even $100,000, that's a lot of money. And we can't fathom just, you know, being okay with somebody just stopping that immediately. But that's not the way they work. They work, as we've talked about in the past, 10, 20, 30, 50, 100 years in the future. That's what they're looking into. So, yeah, it's nothing to them. And we're talking about companies that are worth so much money. It would be hard to even figure out how much, because of the way they do their the way they cook the books, basically, and hide things and invest in different things. But yeah. You know, it does seem to be, like sanctions. You know, it can hurt, but it usually hurts the poorer people more than it hurts these big companies, you know, and that's the thing. And you always see that's one of the things, man, that really got me kind of out of the kind of conservative or the old, conservative circles and kind of thinking outside the box, you know, like mainstream conservatism, because the war thing, the war subject was so, they were so blindly allegiant to it. Whatever, you know, the next war, they were already for the next war, no matter what it was. You know, they considered our part in these foreign entanglements as patriotism. And a lot of them still do, you know, and a lot of people are raring to go on the left and the right, just go, you know, right into Russia as if it's going to be that easy and just like kick some ass, you know, and with no, you know, no thoughts of the consequences or anything like that. And it's really scary because these people will have no, you know, they're not going to be hurt by it, probably, at least not in at first, but they could get a lot of other people hurt, including our soldiers and citizens, innocent citizens.
Well, I saw, I don't know if it was Ted Cruz or some Con Inc. person. They tweeted like, I haven't seen this type of unity since 9/11. And I'm thinking like, Jesus, dude, like that's not unity. Like wanting to go kill another, like, and that, I know I have nowhere else to go on that point. I just thought that was ridiculous. My other point I was making was with the China virus. You couldn't call it the China virus because it wasn't the Chinese people's fault, which I agree with. It's not, you know, granted that was stupid virtue signal, but Russia, you're supposed to now throw away your Russian vodka. You're supposed to whatever. They close bank accounts. They Bitcoin like wallets stop working. Is it now we're attacking the Russian people? Like you guys can't even keep your hypocrisy straight. I think in my mind, it's again, they're doing this to sell this, that it feels eerily similar to like all of the, you brought up propaganda earlier. Like I love World War I and World War II propaganda. I'm sure you do too. It's and everyone's seeing it, like, beat back the Hun, buy Liberty bonds to stop this from happening. And it's like a German guy, like, holding a woman up to a tree, like, with the insinuation he's about to be a raper or a killer. And, or like, the, you know, the Japanese, they got like a monkey looking Japanese, like, depiction, yeah, smiling. And that's what this seems like. It's just not a cartoon depicting them like racially stereotyping. It's now like just a little different, but it's this, it feels exactly the same.
Yeah. And you cannot, I'm finding it harder and harder to tell the difference between a native ad and an actual news piece. I mean, you know, like with these different, whether it be the pharmaceutical industry or something pushing for war or other things. And it's just, you know, before, I think in the past, like when you're talking about World War, like say one, for instance, I talked about in my last show, that Committee on Public Information under Wilson, and he created that department just to propagandize the American people. It was like a huge, at the time, I didn't realize that until I did this last show, how big it was. Just alone, this one part of the program, he had 75,000 guys called 4 Minutemen.
Damn.
And they would go out to churches, to anything where there was a gathering of people. Yeah, like at movie theaters, they would go there, you name it, town squares. And they would, for 4 minutes, say something, give a speech that would kind of push, you know, make them think that America needed to be in that war. And it worked. You know, of course, it was also on the radio and TV, and they made posters, and they had musicians that they had hired to write these songs that were pro us going into the war. Yeah. So, and the guy, one of the professors that I listened to when I was studying for that, he said that's where they got modern propaganda all the way back then, that they still use to this day. They figured out how to kind of work people over. And he was praising it. He thought it was great. He's a big lefty. Yeah. And so you know, that they use those same tactics today, you know, Edward Bernays and all that stuff.
Dude, well, and you brought like the World War I propaganda. Wilson, you know, he campaigned on, we're not going into the war. We're not the guy that's going to keep us out of the war. And like I said, you had FDR up there. He's making these deals. And of course they knew they're going into the war. He was Bernard Baruch, who was in charge of the War Industries Board. He knew we were going in. He funded Wilson so Wilson gets in. We obviously fight World War I. FDR does the same thing. He campaigns on, we're not, that's Europe's war. We're not going into the war. And obviously we go into the war. There was one congressman, one in World War I and World War II, that was the only one, Jeanette Rankin, I think that's her last, that was the only Congress lady who said no against the war, and the only one. Like, wow. And even then, again, I say that because it even then proves that either the propaganda worked, if there were any honest Congress people, probably not. And just like today, who's not saying that we should get involved? I don't think anyone said we should be there yet, but that's coming. It's only weeks away. Just a few stories of the baby in the incubators, or you know, whatever, a man in a cave took down the towers, whatever story they need. But it's coming. I think it's coming.
Right, exactly, man. Yeah, you know, back to the propaganda real quick. Yeah. The guy that Wilson hired, the main guy who was a PR guy, the George Creel, to do the Committee on Public Information. So he was the same guy that Wilson had used, who came up with the slogan, he kept us out of the war.
Oh, my God.
But last night I saw that I think his name's Eric Swalwell, the guy that he was like ran for president for about 2 seconds. Biggest douche in the world. He is on, I don't know if it's Fox or CNN, but he actually says this. He's talking about things we can do, sanctions and different things we can do against Russia. And he said, maybe we'll need to even kick every Russian student out of the country.
No way.
He said that. And I was like, this is Japanese internment camps all over again.
Yes.
You know? I mean, it's scary, dude.
Oh my, I can't believe this is Germany or Germans in the UK. They, you know, and they, even in then for World War I, they were writing, you know, there was like short novels, things in the papers about like the evil Hun spies that are, you know, like they're setting up like, oh, there's thousands of Germans here. As you know, and they are all going to converge on us at once. Like that, it's, that's why history is so important, because if you see this, you will be able to see through these lies that are just so blatant. I cannot believe Eric, because you know Eric Swallow is famous for his fart. That,
oh yeah, remember that? Yeah.
And sleeping with a Chinese spy, of course. While I think he was married or dating his wife, you know, but yeah, they just brushed that out. That, who cares? He, you know, we're polyamorous now. Monogamy means nothing. But I can't believe he said we may have to kick out Russian students.
I know. And, you know, the I didn't recognize the anchor, but not a word about it. Not like any pushback whatsoever. And you see, it's coming full circle now. But as much as the left hated McCarthy, hated his guts, they are turning into him. And you know, looking back, McCarthy actually had, you know, he was right about some of those things. Maybe he went too far, but like with the Venona papers, you know, they finally released those, and those were intercepts where they did find that there was a bunch of communist communications and people inside the United States working with the Russian government, or supposedly anyway. But, you know, everything that the right did all those years that they've hated and made fun of, whether it was the warmongering, or, you know, these just total fear and craziness over the top against another country. They're doing the same thing and have done the same thing, you know. So it's just insane what we've become. And the crazy thing is, they have no clue. You know, the right's crazy too. Don't get me wrong. They're crazy too. But really both sides, you know, when they're at their craziest, they have no idea, because they're so caught up in the moment, you know, the emotions of it all, the zeitgeist and everything.
Oh, I love that word. That's a good, but like how you just said there, McCarthy found there was commies or whatever. Well, the leader of, like, I think it was called JHCO, is like in charge of bringing the Nazis over here. So they would go through that office. It's something with a J, I can't remember. And they processed, you know, I think it was like 25,000 Nazis to get into America. They gave them their clearance. Well, the leader of that group, the guy, the head director, was a gambler, a womanizer. He was a mole for the Soviet Union. So all these people that he brought in, you know, you would think he would probably turn a few of them, like, hey, you want some extra cash, because I'm working with the Soviets. I don't know like the point of that. The point is that there is no like loyalty. This, like, now they want nationalism, right? Now they want, you know, it's always, oh, open borders, let everyone in, they're refugees. And now we're supposed to believe that they want to respect Ukraine's borders and Ukraine's national identity. That's okay, but not in America. It's just so backwards. And again, this is the reason for this show. It's like, I just cannot see, if there was a true enemy, a true leader, like all these coups we've done, Guatemala and Afghanistan, over and over, where we've labeled their leader a communist, we've labeled their leader a socialist. Really, they were just a nationalist trying to raise their people out of extreme poverty because U.S. corporations are dominating and stealing everything. We kill them. We overthrow them in weeks. We give them an option of, you know, capitulating to us or the U.S. corporations. And if you don't, well, we will hammer you in the press. We will take your people, slaughter them by, we'll insert some terrorist group and overthrow you. So if Vladimir Putin was truly an evil guy, truly their enemy, he would not last 2 minutes. They would get rid of him.
I think you're right. I really do. I really suspect that. And I think people ought to look back at Libya, which was not all that long ago. So
great point.
Gaddafi would seem to be one of them, and buddied up with all those guys, whether it was the UK prime ministers or the American diplomats and stuff like that. You can see him with numerous people, and they seem to like him quite a bit, especially on the left. They seem to like him quite a bit. But something happened, and a lot of people say he was getting off the dollar, and he was trying to get the central bank out of Libya. And or maybe he had actually got the central bank out. Somebody out there probably knows much better than me. Yeah. But anyway, for some reason, they turned on him. I think because he stopped playing ball, maybe. And they killed him. And, you know, I remember the video of him, this horrible video. They're dragging him through the streets, and it's just horrible. And he's like, why are you doing this to me? You know, and I'm not saying he was the greatest guy ever, but a lot of people say that he was a good guy. And he actually put a river, a clean water system through the desert. It was called the Man-Made River, the Great Man-Made River, went for miles and miles through the desert and gave people clean water that they normally didn't have. And we freaking bombed the hell out of that and destroyed it while we, you know, invaded Libya. So Libya is a good example of how they will overthrow somebody. And then they tried to put in this guy. I don't have his name in front of me. It's been so long, but a guy who was living in the United States, a CIA asset.
Oh my God, dude. Of course.
They tried to put him in as president or PM, whatever they call it over there. And the people were like, hell no, they wouldn't have it. And that's when everything fell apart. And now, you know, Libya's horrible.
And dude, that's just like, hey, it was an American. I think they did that in, I don't know if it was Kenya or wherever, but they've done this again. This has been the same. They take an American, maybe they're a foreign national, but they've been educated in the U.S. They went to school in the U.S. They've had a job in the U.S. They're groomed for putting in this position when the time is right. And they've done this before Gaddafi. It's just.
And if they do get rid of Putin, they will, you know, like you said, if he's really against them, then they will eventually get rid of him, probably sooner than later, if there's anything to this. But they'll put somebody in that they can control, because that's what they want. They want to be able to control the world. I mean, that's it. That's what I'm trying to tell people. You know, I said the other day, so if NATO had the title UN in it somewhere, you know, all the conservatives would be against it, rightly so. But it's the same thing. It's actually probably even more powerful in some ways than the UN, because the amount of money coming into NATO is obscene.
Right.
And the same with the UN, too. But it's just about going in and imperializing the world. Right. And just, you know, 30 members now in the UN. And, you know, if one country does something and they have a beef with another country, well, every member of the UN is actually entitled, or expected to help them out in some capacity if they ask. So there you've got, you know, 29 other countries. If they have a problem, the U.S. gets pulled into it. And of course, we're paying more than any other country anyway. And Canada's paying a lot too in the U.K., but not nearly as much as us. So anyway, it's a scam, dude. It's a scam. That's why you got all those, you know, you got the open societies, George Soros, and you got all those financiers like BlackRock and Rockefeller Brothers Fund, Rockefeller, one of their other organizations. I think it's the Rockefeller Foundation, one of those. Just a bunch of those globalist foundations and corporations are behind it. So that's your... you know, if people aren't familiar, if they want to see Atlantic Council, look up Atlantic Council donors, because like the CFR, it's under their corporate membership. Oh. But Atlantic Council has it as donors, and they tell you how much each donor has given. And you can also look at the single members in NATO in their like board of directors and stuff like that. I don't remember offhand who all's in it, except for what was the one general with the bug eyes that Trump had that everybody loved until they didn't love him anymore.
Mad Dog.
He's on their board.
Oh, is he? Of course. Yeah. That's great. That's always great. And again, like I know I'm just like kicking this dead horse, but like Kim Jong-un, we create these boogeymans to keep the military and to keep the $700 billion a year we spend on the military, which is effing absurd. You need to have a boogeyman to justify that to the American public. Mm-hmm. Not that they would stand up and say, hey, this isn't right because 40% watch the nightly news or, you know, John Oliver. And if he tells you it's a good thing, they shake their head and say, yes, this is a good thing. But
yeah,
you need a boogeyman. So that's why they don't take out. You think North Korea could withstand? We send like a silent crew of people to kill them. You think they couldn't stop that, or they could stop that? No, dude, they can't even keep the lights on in 90% of their country. They could not, they couldn't stop it. We would easily take them out, but we do that because we need to have this boogeyman to, and whether it's Russia or China or North Korea, there. And what really, honestly, what's like the biggest difference? So you can't criticize, you know, the government in China and Russia. You'll get, suppose in China, I'm sure you do get imprisoned. But the differences that we're at between these two countries are very minimal. I mean, we're steps away. We freeze bank accounts. We will put you in a political prisoner for a year for going to a protest and walking inside a building that your tax dollars fund. You know, what is our difference? Like, not like, what is it? I don't see, it's not glaring. It's pretty similar in my mind.
Well, if you don't like this country, why don't you just leave? You know, we have the illusion of freedom here. And so far it's satisfied people enough and to the point where now they can't do anything about it, really, even if they wanted to. And I think people have just given up to a certain degree and just been like, okay, well, there's nothing really I can do. So I'm just going to go along with this politics thing and pretend it's all real. And, you know, it's kind of fun to watch it and I can play my side and it's kind of like sports. You know, that and just total ignorance and just people just, you know, it's this being like a sporting team, you know. But you're right, man. The freedoms have gotten so much less. And the money that we're paying in taxes, everything is taxed to just the obscene amounts. And all the government ever says is we need more money, more money, more money. And they're horrible stewards of the money they get. And they can't even account for a lot of it. And still, a lot of the citizens are like, yeah, we need more money. Like, even the right, you know, they're always for giving more money to the military because they equate military with giving money to soldiers, which is not what it is at all.
Not true at all.
If you don't believe me, you know, if anybody's watching, like, being from the South, you know, this is Army country. This is military country. The South, I mean, we're like almost indoctrinated at birth that you need to join the military. And I respect people who've joined, don't get me wrong. And I got a lot of family and friends who've joined and I have respect for them and love for them and everything, but they've used our love of the country and patriotism against us to brainwash us into fighting their wars. And, you know, I remember different times there'll be, you know, whether it was Afghanistan or Iraq, you know, they'll say like, well, soldiers can't get enough comfortable boots. So these families will take up money and send them comfortable boots or different things that they might need. And it's like these families and these good Samaritans are taking up these care packages and trying to get these soldiers different things. And this happens all the time. And the obscene amounts that are spent on defense, it's ridiculous. It's not going to the soldiers. It has nothing to do with patriotism. It's lining the pockets of these. You know, it's not just the military or the weapons manufacturers and the like the private security firms like Blackwater. Those guys get tons of money. Don't get me wrong. But there's tons of other organizations, industries. You know, somebody's got to make the uniforms. Somebody's got to make the medicines and the food and the armor and all the technological gadgets that go along with being a soldier nowadays. And it's probably, you know, I probably don't even have a clue how much is really going out and how many industries are thriving off of it, but it's a lot.
Tons, dude. Have you ever read, you're froze there. Oh, now you're good. Sorry, you froze for a sec. Have you ever read Merchants of Death? I think that's what it's called. It's like an old book from like the 70s or 60s.
I haven't. I've seen it, but I've never read it.
I tried, you know, as you know, I'm always searching for books and I pick one up. I'm like, I have no idea what's going on. And I stopped reading it, but I tried to start reading that. And that was about World War One and building up and a little bit before World War One. But these conflicts have always been created. Like the one company, I think it's Vickers. They were like a UK or German weapons firm. Scratch that. Forget that. But for before World War One, Winston Churchill, every ship runs on coal. That's their whole fleet runs on coal. He's a big proponent of getting them all updated to gasoline or both. Now, was it because he was concerned with was it because he wanted to help his ships be better? I guess, but it didn't hurt that his best friend was like the director of Dutch Oil or Dutch Shell or whatever it's called. Like, there's so much money, and all these guys are lobbyists for DC and for these politicians. So, when has there not been a war going on? Since I've been alive, there's been a war. And now we pulled out of Afghanistan and we're still dropping bombs, of course, in Yemen or wherever the hell else we're dropping bombs. But this is all good for them. There is no downside to a conflict.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's all these, even if they don't declare the wars, which a lot of times it seems like they don't, they're in these other countries like Somalia. We've been bombing Somalia here lately. We did it under Trump, too. You know, like you said, Yemen has just been horrible. That gets no news whatsoever.
None.
I don't know if we have boots on the ground. I think we did at one time, but we definitely have supported the Saudis and sold them weapons to do that.
Yes.
And, you know, all the time, these foreign things are going on, these, you know, they're bombing or droning or whatever. And the regular American people have no clue. They have no clue whatsoever. None. And, you know, it's obscene how, I hate to be mean, but people are just dumb. They're just not, they're uninformed.
They are.
They're not dumb ignorant. Per se. They're ignorant. And the bad part is they have no, they're incurious. I mean, they don't want to learn anything. And that's the bad part. You know, they just want to be told what to believe. And so they can kind of cheer for the team. And, you know, like all this emotional propaganda that's going around about this Zelensky guy, you know, and that is the biggest bunch of BS I've ever seen in my life. Now, I'm not saying that there's not some, you know, some killing and destruction going on. Obviously, there is. But I just don't believe that for a second. It goes back to, like you said, they place these leaders in, you know, the people that are supporting him and saying all these things about how great he is. They don't have a clue about the history there.
No.
Even back to 2014 and how the CIA and the State Department was working to place the leaders that they wanted in there, which they did. And I believe he was just another one of them. I mean,
I'm sure he is.
Yeah.
Dude, he's a comedian, like a TV show comedian. Like, and you, this was perfect. I wanted to talk about this next. They like these stories. I'm trying to think, like, if I read any like World War II, like heroic stories to get us behind. And I can't think of any per se, like, you know, but like how they've been saying, like, the ghost of Kiev, which was alive, Snake Island, the guy saying, go F yourself to the Russian soldiers. Like all these stories, and I'm trying to think of World War II examples. I don't know if I can off the top of my head, but they join a it's just, again, the same tactics. Like they dehumanize, they have this underdog. It's Hollywood. It's Hollywood stories. This, the underdog, they're standing strong. This, look how badass this woman is within. She says, I'll kill any Russian that comes on my step. You know, like, dude,
yeah.
Do you guys think this is, am I crazy? Like, am I the only one that see this sounds ridiculous? Like, this is how do I even verify if this is real? You know, they had Miss Ukraine holding what looked like an airsoft rifle, not even a real weapon. And she says, I'll kill the Russians or whatever she says. Like, this is ridiculous. This is like, immature. This is like, this is America's IQ. We can understand Marvel movies. This is now a Marvel movie. We're going to have, you know, this guy be Spider-Man version. And, you know, Putin is Thanos. Like that's literally what it's boiled down to.
Oh yeah. I can't wait to see Brad Pitt or somebody play Zelensky here in a couple of years. I mean, you know, it's going to happen. It is that they really, they know what works, you know, back to even, you know, World War One and pre-World War One, probably even. They know exactly what works. It's super simple. The emotions, they know which emotions to tug. And, you know, it's the hero versus the villain, Batman versus Superman and, you know, all that. And they appeal to people who really don't know anything about history. And if they do know anything about history, it's just a little bit of what they've learned in the, you know, the
it's only Carnegie. The Nazis. That's all I know.
Yeah, exactly. The Carnegie Endowment funded, Rockefeller funded school textbooks. That's all they know in their social studies textbooks. My son started a new school and he actually studies history now, which I'm super stoked about. Oh,
that's nice.
But they changed that whole thing to social studies back in, I think, like the
50s. Yeah, that's what I had, social studies.
Yeah, me too. And but history is more of a factually based history with a timeline and stuff like that, even though it may not be all, you know, I'm sure they're leaving out a ton of stuff. But anyway, people don't know anything, man. And they just, they don't want to know, you know, it's pitiful where we are. And I don't think it's going to get any better. If they don't know by now, after everything we've seen. You know, you keep seeing those pictures and different things, and it says stuff like, well, I wish we had Trump back, or you'll have a picture of Trump behind a, in case of an emergency, break glass, and all these super, super douchey. And it's like, y'all have no clue. You don't even know what the guy was about. You don't know any of his connections, and you don't even care. You just want some character to say things that you want to hear, tell you things you want to hear. And that's
right.
I mean, yeah, granted, he was better, it seems like, than Biden, but you couldn't have had Biden without Trump, you know? He was like,
and that's a very low bar. It's a very, to be better than Biden, you literally need to just have a pulse. And, but you're right, dude. Like, people, we've been broken down or brainwashed or whatever, you know, bombarded with distractions of bread and circus, that everything boils down to like the only, we know, movies and plots. And that's why people like, not, I always say this, about how everyone's a Nazi, you know, you're a Nazi no, they're the Nazi. The only reason why they use that comparison is because that's literally all they know. All they know is that the Nazis were these evil, in the, you know, subhuman evil monsters. They were cannibals or whatever they want to call them. And yes, they were evil, but guys, we are evil. America has probably now killed more people than the Nazis killed. But that's all they can understand. And I even brought up the comparison how in Japan, the POWs of Japan, you had a 40% chance of dying. They would only feed you, they would feed you bleached rice, on which is an extra step on purpose, because bleached rice lacked whatever mineral. And so they would get this disease, or they'd get the distended gut, and they die because the Japanese were bleaching the rice on purpose to remove these chemicals. So that 40%, whereas the POWs and Nazis were 4% chance of dying. But yet again, our brains, because we're bombarded with, you know, Mustache Man and how evil these people are, that's all they resonate with. That's all they can. So that's why everyone's a Nazi, because they don't know what, they don't know what else to call you, because they don't know, have any other basis or fact, like, you know, background information.
Exactly, man. I mean, like the globalizers, whatever you want to call them, the global military industrial complex, they could not have had a better spokesman or like excuse, you know, poster boy basically for doing everything they do than Hitler, if they'd created him in a lab. And maybe they did.
Right. Yeah.
Because that has been the excuse. You know, he's the, of course, anytime there's a leader, he gets compared to Hitler every time. You know, don't worry about Stalin or Pol Pot or Mao or any of those other guys. It's always Hitler. And, you know, it's just been the excuse for so many atrocities, you know. So
it's
pitiful, man. Very pitiful.
No, you're right. Like King Leopold, who was funded by the Our Kids, he, you know, he killed 10 million in the Congo. And Pol Pot, I think he only killed like a million, not only, but, you know, he killed them. All these people, like, just huge. But you're right. I guarantee you, if you went down the street and you asked 100 people, who is Pol Pot, who is King Leopold, maybe 5 would know, maybe, based on what area you're in. I mean, like, but they all know who Mustache Man is, because that is pounded. It's like, and I think you're right, it's a great, like, poster boy for them to you know, put more money in the military. He's their perfect like arch nemesis, even though he's been dead for whatever 80 years.
Not that long.
Yes. Well, maybe,
just a few decades ago.
maybe he grew old in Argentina, but they,
right.
I just don't get like, and it's just so sickening. Like that again, I know that's like the point is this was to talk about if this is real. I just can't see that. This war, or whatever you want to call it, that I think, I'm going to ask you that. Is America going to get pulled in?
I think so. Yeah, I really, if it continues, unless they have other plans where they're going to just, you know, say, okay, there's a peace agreement where, you know, the U.S. gets something that they really want, like access to a certain part of Ukraine or something like that, which they probably already have anyways. Mm-hmm. But Or some kind of deal, you know. I know we're still getting Russian oil, from what I can understand, but it always seems to lead back to money. So there may be some kind of deal go down, but Yeah, I think they probably will. I think it's, I feel like it's in their plan to, you know, if it's not real, you know, as far as like if Putin is actually one of the globalists and in on this whole thing,
yeah,
then I think that no matter what, they want to make this big change in Russia. You know what I mean? Like, so the people will believe it's different. Even if they're controlling it and they'll have some other guy and they say, you know, this guy is a Russian and blah, blah, blah. They'll be controlling him like they do all these smaller countries. And that's what they want, I think. It's just a part of the globalist system, I believe. So if it's not real, it's globalist. If it is real, it's globalist, because that seems to be their end game, you know, is right. Just to control the world. I mean, as crazy as that sounds, it's pretty simple.
Well, dude, I was thinking about, so like, you know, I don't say I'm like a definitely a monarchist, but obviously we can agree democracies suck. And I was thinking about like, when did in America, obviously when we first created the country, you had to be a landowner, obviously you had to be white to vote. And I wonder when like these changes slowly happened, where they, when they made the rules, okay, you don't need to own land to vote. You don't need to own, you know, everyone can vote now. Because thinking on it, like, the propaganda for that must have been huge, because if you are a landowner, you're not going to, you don't want to share this vote. You know, you worked hard for your vote, whatever you want to call it. And you can see like why that is in the globalist best interest, because like we've just said, people are stupid. So the more stupid people you get to vote, dude, you're going to keep winning because they're stupid and they won't, they'll do, you know, this guy's going to give you free pizza every Monday. All right, I'll vote for him. You know, like it's like little kids in elementary school voting for class president. But I wonder if maybe like that's why they propped up Putin for so long. They built up, just like we said with Hitler, they built him up. Like maybe, okay, so now they're going to build up. Oh, you guys, look how unfree you are under this man. And maybe he served his purpose and they kill him, just like they did with Hitler. He got funded. He had plans to, he wanted to bomb America. And it was at that point that they were like, oh, okay, he's done now. Because that war was over. I read somewhere like in 43, like once America came in, they were done. Like the war should have been over, but they kept feeding it with the Belgium relief. I think that was then. And they just want to extend these wars to, I guess, remove any semblance of the old system, put their new system in play and continue with this lovely constitutional republic with the illusion of choice.
Yes, absolutely, man. And you know, with the Cold War, you know, they say that it was over years before they actually told the public. George W. Bush, when he was George H.W. Bush, when he was the head of the CIA, he had this Team B, CIA Team B. And so these guys were basically saying that the situation was much worse, that the Soviets had a lot more technology and were still well armed. And then Team A was like, no, that's not true. They're done for. We don't need to keep funding all this. So they were throwing money into it. I don't know who all was receiving it. Probably the, you know, the friends of the people who were in charge of the government, right. I assume the cronies. But anyway, yeah, that's that whole thing. And of course, we know that our foreign aid was going to directly to building up the Soviets and giving them weapons and our technology. And I think they even had a factory in Texas that was making trucks or truck parts for the Soviets. It was just ridiculous, right, man.
And again, Hitler got from GE or Standard Oil. Americans had to ration oil that was coming from America. Standard Oil was shipping it. They reincorporated in Panama and were sailing the oil to Spain to give it to the Nazis. Like, and that's like another example I used in my like short Twitter debate I had with that guy. Like you're telling me that these, like, what does that say to you? What, that they're making Americans ration while they're giving the enemy who's killing your countrymen, your fellow countrymen, with the oil that you're giving them, but yet they're not, we're actual enemies. That doesn't sound, even in World War I, there's a lot of Germans in the UK and they like ran business from Germany and like all these British like small companies, they owe these Germans money. Well, the Germans still were collecting during the war or right before and during the war, the same time they're being killed and bombed. you're telling me that if these were truly enemies, they would still be required to pay them? No, they wouldn't. They're killing each other.
No, of course not.
Right? Like, yeah. That's insane, dude. But it's not. It's because it's all a show. I just don't know why people can't, like, I think it's too hard to grasp that. It's much easier to have a boogeyman, to have a, you know, like, and I see how some people, they are like, no, Putin's, you know, he's a conservative, traditional man. He pushes this. Maybe. I don't know well. I mean, maybe a little bit, but he's not. He doesn't care about, you know, he's from the KGB, right?
Yeah,
he's a communist. He doesn't care about your values.
Yeah, and he's buddies with that Dugin guy, Alexander Dugin.
Oh, yeah.
And that guy's, you know, he's a Bolshevik, and, you know, he's tied to white supremacists and stuff like that, which shows you that Bolshevism has a flavor of white supremacism. But
that he was a Bolshevik.
Yeah, yeah. And I really wonder about him, too, being – the Orthodox Church over there, you know, they've got a lot of ties to intelligence communities, too. So, you know, you just can't trust what you hear, unfortunately. No matter what, every organization, I think, has been infiltrated. Mm. And it's just a part of it, man. It's, you know, it's perilous times. And I think that only just a few people are willing to be honest about it, you know?
Yeah. So the one person commented, have you heard this from Today's Audrey? That's the name. But so there's this Adam Green, you know, Adam Green is right from No More. He talks a lot about this Gog and Magog story. Have you ever heard about this?
I have a little bit. Yeah.
So basically for anyone listening, and I see, you know, and I don't know if this, I know very little. I am an idiot in this area, but Gog and Magog, it's in like the Kabbalah or the Talmud. That I think it's from one of those doctrines.
It's also in the Bible too. Yeah.
Oh, look, I mean, you know more. Why don't you explain it? You probably know more than me.
No, I really don't know that much, but I do know that George W. Bush, his code name in the Skull and Bones was Magog.
No way.
Yeah. Yeah.
So guys, it's like this in the Bible and all, it's like this prophecy or something that Gog and Magog will battle. And like the winner, I don't know. It's like it's basically just a big event that's going to create the one world government, or at least that's the way the globalists are using it. So their goal is that in this story, we're either Gog or Magog, the West, and the West needs to fall for the Messiah, the Antichrist for Christians to return. This needs to happen. So that's what I know Adam Green and a few others are proposing, that the West will fall because this is going to fulfill prophecy and bring the Antichrists or the Messiah onto our earth.
Yeah, I really need to learn more about that. I do know, if I'm not mistaken, and somebody can fact check me, I believe there are two large statues overlooking England that are called Gog and Magog. And I don't know the story behind that, but I feel like I read that maybe 10 years ago. And never really followed up with it. So that might be something interesting to look into.
It's definitely an interesting theory. Like, I think that that's like what pushed me back to Christianity. Not that I was a great Christian before, but brought me back was because clearly the inverse is true. Like the people at the top clearly believe in the Bible. They just have the different, they're backing the different team, the evil team. So if they believe this so wholeheartedly, because everything they do seems to be in line with fulfilling biblical prophecy and bringing about this Antichrist, I would assume that the inverse is true, that there is the Messiah is Jesus and all that stuff. So I for anybody that struggles with their belief or faith, that's like one thing that brought me back so much, was clearly they believe the opposite. So that can't be true, and the other part can't be not true.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm saying that right. Yeah.
No, I totally get what you mean. Yeah. My wife told me, you know, the last couple of years, she was never, I mean, she was a Christian, but not really practicing. And everything that's happened, she said, it's just brought me closer to my faith, because, you know, it helped me to realize exactly what you just said, that a lot of these people are, they believe it and they're fighting against it. Mm-hmm. And so it really kind of renews your faith, and you're kind of seeing these things come true. I'm not saying we're in the end times, but you do see things coming true. I mean, a lot of prophecies have been fulfilled over the years, And, you know, it's wild times, my man, wild times. Yeah. I think people need to, you know, look into their faith because, you know, what is that old saying? If you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything.
Nice.
I think that, you know, a solid foundation of faith, and I'm not talking about anything anybody else does or any group or any church or anything like that, but your own personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. I think that's the way to go because it's you. It's just you and him and your faith. It's a personal thing. And if you want to go to church and do things, you know, socially, that's great too, but you need to get right. That's all I'm saying. Yeah. Get right.
No,
while we still have time.
Yeah. I totally agree with you, dude. Like that has put peace in my life, knowing like that's where my faith is, that, you know, this isn't heaven here. And no matter how bad it gets here, like that's why we have to laugh about it, because otherwise you will cry. Like it's too, yeah. If you like, you like all of us in this community do, we, it is, if we see how sad this world has become and how the, it's just covered in lies and filth and disgusting corruption. And if you don't have a belief that this will get better, this will end, this either will fall or whatever, it can be like a depression. And I think that's why people, instead of putting their faith in religion, they put it in politicians, because they're waiting for that savior character to come help them, because they know it's wrong too, but they, that faith is misplaced. Like these people, they're first of all humans, so they're totally fallible. And also they're probably have zero of your interest at heart.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely, man. Well said.
Well, that's a good, I think that's a, so, Amir, where can people find you? If I'm sure they found you by now, but where can they find you and support your show?
Yeah, man. Thanks once again for having me. It's always a pleasure. So if you look up theoddmanout.podbean.com, you can subscribe to the show. I'm on a bunch of other podcast platforms. If you look at The Oddcast, FT, The Odd Man Out. I know it's long, but anyway, and also if you want to catch me on social media, _TheOddManOut on Twitter and Instagram. And I'm still on Facebook too. It's facebook.com/TheOddManOut FT. I'm sorry. The Oddcast FT, The Odd Man Out. I should have left that one out.
And I'll put your Twitter and your Instagram, but go follow Odd Man. Like I'm sure you guys have heard him on the show millions of times. So one of my favorite people. So thanks, dude. We'll keep our eye on Russia, Ukraine. And now you can go watch the State of the Union. It's probably still going on.
Oh no, I'm skipping that one, man.
All right, dude. Take care. Thanks, everybody. And we'll talk soon. See you, dude.